Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Lee Cantor, and we are having a very special DeKalb Chamber special edition, and we're featuring some of the people that are active in the chamber, and at the end of this, we're going to get a chance to talk to Charles Green, who's actually heading up a talk. I believe it's the capacity building series that the chamber is kind of putting on, and I'm excited about this show because we're trying to do more and more work with the chamber to get the word out about all the good things that they're doing. And one of our first guests is going to be Greg Russell. He is with Bank of North Georgia. Welcome, Greg.
Thank you.
And you're a member of the chamber, that's right?
Yes. The Bank of North Georgia is a member of the DeKalb Chamber, and I am currently serve on the board of the chamber.
Now, from a business standpoint, how important is it, you know, to get involved in the chamber? Is that kind of a must-do if you're a business owner, you think, nowadays?
In my opinion, it's absolutely a must. Uh-huh. The chamber provides some of these opportunities, like the capacity building series that we'll be talking about today. They also provide opportunity for networking, small businesses, getting the word out about your business, et cetera. So, yes, I think it's worthwhile.
So it's helped. Do you think you can see a direct result of participating there and benefit to the Bank of North Georgia?
Yes, absolutely. It raises the bank's profile in the community.
Mm-hmm.
We're active in the chamber, and we believe in it strongly. In each of our communities, DeKalb, Gwinnett, and the other counties, the Bank of North Georgia is a participant. And where we can, we try to participate in a leadership capacity.
Uh-huh.
By serving on the board, serving on committees, et cetera. So absolutely. We feel strongly about the Chamber of Commerce.
Now, in today's market, I would think that relationship building is more and more important, especially these days with the economic downturn, that it's, you know, people are going, doing business with people that they have relationships with. You know, you can't make wrong moves nowadays. Do you find that the Chamber helps you in that way?
Well, you're right in the sense that people do, we do value relationships in terms of relationship banking. And it makes it a lot easier as a business person or anyone, if you have a relationship and you're going through a tough time, you know, it's easier with a relationship rather than someone that you know, that's an unknown.
So, right, like you're just a name on a spreadsheet.
Correct. The relationships are absolutely critical in at all times, particularly when in tough economic environment.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this a good time for business owners to be getting loans? Is that
absolutely. Money's cheap, you know, right now. Rates are down. And so if you're prepared, banks, you know, contrary to what people are hearing, banks are actually lending. We're looking to lend to quality customers, quality individuals, and quality businesses. And, you know, being prepared, et cetera. But, yes, today is the better than any day is time to get comfortable and get your business properly financed.
So now there's money to be had, but I would imagine it's a little trickier. It's not as easy to, you can't just walk in and say, hey, I need some money. And then you guys are writing checks. You're doing a little more mm-hmm. checking up on these companies. They got to have more paperwork. Is there some of that?
You know, I would say that the better prepared you are, the better well thought out your business plan is. And, you know, certainly we look at the capacity of the firm that we're dealing with.
Right.
I wouldn't say it's more paperwork, but I would say that banks are properly underwriting the credit risk.
Right.
These days. And if you're credit worthy, you can get the loan.
Now, do you have any tips for the prospective person looking for a loan?
Preparation is the key. You know, being together on your financial information,
mm-hmm.
Understanding your business and understanding right. what you need in terms of you know, whether you need a little bit more equity or whether you need a loan or some combination thereof. So I would say that the preparation is one of the most important pieces.
Now, when you talk about preparation, is this if I have a business like near your bank, or I'm going to have your bank as be my bank,
mm-hmm.
is it good for me to go in there, get to know the people at the bank, you know, just have a relationship before I hit you up for a loan?
Well, yes, but I would say that if your banker's any good, he or she has already called on
that?
You as the business owner, particularly if you're, you know, within 1 to 2 or 3 miles of a particular location. But yes, it could never hurt for you to stop in, even if you don't need anything, introduce yourself to the branch manager, to the commercial lenders or business bankers that are around, and introduce yourself and develop a relationship.
Right.
Absolutely.
Now, when I have a relationship with your bank, is it something that you're kind of a, or do you work as kind of a partner with me, or is it just a place where that I'm doing my checking and I have a loan or something? Like, are you, like, if I need help, like, and I need a CPA or something, are you there to kind of help me kind of vet, or you know some CPAs? Is there?
Absolutely. Your banker is a partner in the relationship. And, you know, although I may not be a CPA myself,
sure,
I can refer you to.
Right. There's some people that you work with that
absolutely
you trust and.
Yeah, there are many people that we deal with, professionals, attorneys, insurance agents, other business owners, customers of the bank,
right?
Other entities that we'd be, you know, I would feel comfortable referring after I get a little bit of knowledge about what your business needs.
Right. But I guess it goes back to what you were saying before about the relationship. The deeper the relationship, then you know to match me up with the right person.
Absolutely. That's absolutely true.
Now, what about the, like, SBA? Are there SBA loans? You guys do SBA loans, or
we do. We make SBA loans. We're in that particular market as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, so how does that work? Is that a different process than getting a loan right from the bank?
Well, I'm going to maybe I'll defer to some of your other guests for for the specifics on SBA product, but in general. It's almost the same process. You get, you know, the bank starts the process by analyzing the financial information, et cetera, and then, you know, presenting it as particularly either a conventional loan or SBA type of deal. But it's, but the process starts
at the bank. Now, in when I'm going through this process, that you mentioned, like some of the numbers I need for my business standpoint, is my personal credit and stuff come into play as well?
Yeah, personal credit is a factor in any decision, particularly for small business. Sometimes it's difficult to separate, you know, if you're a small entrepreneur from the business from personal.
Personal.
So we do look at both in terms of and the personal credit, you know, would demonstrate some, you know, some credit worthiness, et cetera.
Right.
So it's very important.
So that's part of the equation
when
you're deciding whether to give someone the loan or not.
Yes, sir.
Now, so I guess that would be a kind of a pitfall for some of the small business people who aren't keeping really good records. Like if they've intermingled their personal and their business accounts, which I'm sure you've seen.
I have.
That's where it can really hurt you.
Well, yeah. I mean, but that can be fixed with the proper with proper professionals and with proper help getting your situation together.
Right. But they would need to get that together. In order to get the loan, though, right?
I would think you need to be, you know, prepared in order to have the best opportunity to get the loan.
To get the loan.
You're right.
Now, your bank is part of this Chamber's Capacity Building Series.
Right? Yes, we participate.
And then, so what do you mind sharing a little bit about your participation?
Our participation is mainly, you know, in terms of helping promote it because we think it's worthwhile because as the more prepared a business owner is before they get to the bank,
right,
the easier my job is and the better that we're able to serve them.
Right.
So our function is to help support it in terms of publicity, in terms of what we're doing here today, in terms of getting the word out, and in terms of being a participant in some of the seminars, et cetera, if necessary.
Now, so I would imagine if a person went through this series, they'd be it kind of manages their expectations more about what the whole process is like.
You know, I don't know. What do you mean?
That they're not going into your bank just totally unprepared.
I think the series would help in that preparation.
Right. Now, do you mind talking a little bit about the Bank of North Georgia? Tell us a little bit about it, what you guys are up to, and how you guys play in the marketplace.
Be glad to. The Bank of North Georgia is headquartered in Alpharetta, 38 locations for the banking center and about 10 mortgage locations. The bank is a part of Synovus. Synovus is a division of Synovus. Synovus is out of Columbus, Georgia, about a $28 billion operation, five states. But the Bank of North Georgia is headquartered locally. the way I like to look at it, we are a community bank with big bank resources.
Right.
And so we've got operations, all over Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina, Florida, and Alabama.
And it's all under the Bank of North Georgia brand?
It's under Synovus.
Synovus.
Synovus is the bank, and the Bank of North Georgia is a division of Synovus. Right.
Mm-hmm. But in those other markets, is it the Bank of, like, North Florida, or is it?
It would be, Synovus Bank in Jacksonville, uh-huh. Columbus Bank and Trust out of Columbus, Trust One up in Tennessee.
Right. So the Bank of North Georgia is their brand here.
Bank of North Georgia is their brand in the Atlanta market. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Now, you mentioned mortgages, so is that a big part of you're more of a business bank?
We're more of a business bank, but we can handle any kind of need that a person may have. We have Synovus Securities. We have a mortgage area. If you need mergers and acquisition advice, Synovus can provide it. We have the capacity for lending to multi-billion dollar corporations through our corporate group.
So it's full service.
Full service bank. If you need commercial real estate loans, regular commercial industrial loans, C&I, we call it, mm-hmm. working capital, equipment loans, the Bank of North Georgia and the other Synovus banks can definitely provide it.
And then, is there anything happening like that makes your branch different than the other branches?
We like to think we're located. My location is in Tucker, mm-hmm. and we like to consider ourselves, community oriented.
Right.
So with 100% focus on relationships and customer service. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the differentiator between us and some of the other larger banks.
Right. Cool. All right. Well, is there a website if somebody wants to learn more about your?
Yeah, there is. You could go to www.bankofnorthgeorgia.com. It's all spelled out. www.bankofnorthgeorgia.com.
And then they can find your branch.
They can find me at Bank of North Georgia, 5100 La Vista Road in Tucker, Georgia. If you wanted to reach me directly, my number is 678-578-1929.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Next up, we got Charles Blackman, and he is with Debco. Welcome, Charles.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Now, why don't you tell us a little bit about Debco?
Debco is a DeKalb Enterprise Business Corporation. We are a nonprofit community finance organization, for lack of a better description. We operate several loan funds for for-profit businesses, one restricted to DeKalb County, one that covers the metro area. We are SBA microloan intermediary. We also do entrepreneurial development. We have a 12-week training course for entrepreneurs that we host at Georgia Piedmont College. And we basically provide ongoing technical assistance to our borrowers as well as aspiring entrepreneurs.
Now, is this a government program, or is this just a nonprofit that you're just trying to help the budding entrepreneurs?
We are government funded to a great extent. Our loan programs, revolving loan fund program, is funded through community development block grants from HUD through DeKalb County government. Our microloan fund program is funded by the U.S. Small Business Administration. And we also receive support from private foundations, including many of the banks and other local financial institutions.
Can you talk a little bit about the microloan program?
The microloan program is one of probably the smallest SBA program of their three major programs. We borrow money from the SBA to relend. We can make loans anywhere from $500 up to $50,000. Our target audience is for borrowers that need $10,000 or less. Uh-huh. And these are generally new business owners or those that are expanding, those that are operating home-based businesses that don't need a great deal of capital except for certain exceptions.
Right.
And
how do they get the collateral for that?
Of course, many of the loans we use whatever's available, anywhere from kids' bicycles on up to computers.
Really?
Technically speaking, if it's a very small loan. Of course, that's only psychological collateral, but you know it is collateral nonetheless. We're very flexible in the types of collateral that we will lend upon based upon the risk. We're more interested in the capacity of the business owner or business to generate sufficient cash flow in order to cover their operations as well as pay us back. We are a loan program and not a grant program,
exactly.
So we do look for our loans to get repaid.
Now, is that why there's such an emphasis on the education?
That's one of the reasons that there's an emphasis placed by the SBA, but most of their emphasis that they support through grants for us to have that capacity is for those borrowers on loans that we've already made, which we call post-loan technical assistance, where we will periodically visit the entrepreneur and help them access resources to make sure that they stay afloat and can
repay the loan. Sure.
The pre-loan, the emphasis there is that you have a lot of individuals who want to go into business but have had no prior entrepreneurial experience or education, and they need to have training and education in order to know what business is about.
Right.
In many cases, we want them to be prepared for working 24/7 in a business and understanding it may be more advantageous to continue to look for a job than to rather to go into business. But it's kind of structured both ways depending upon where the business owners are.
Now, is your loan program more the microloans or the revolving loans?
By volume, it's probably more of the microloans. By dollars, it's more of the revolving loan.
Now, the revolving loan's more of a conventional loan? A company that's already been in existence for a while?
It varies. It probably lends itself more in structure to businesses that are probably not new businesses. In other words, it has at least 2 years of operations.
Right.
That's not always the case. A lot of times those loans are piggybacked on other loans whereby we are deeply subordinated lenders, particularly on a SBA 504 loan that Greg and I were talking about. We had a common client where that particular program was for purchase an expansion into primarily real estate and heavy equipment, but it didn't have any working capital component. So we came into a deal of about several million dollars where we were providing working capital.
So you did the working capital and then Greg did the real estate?
Right. And then the SBA Certified Development Corporation, their intermediary in 504 program, did the other part for the SBA.
So is that common to work with multiple groups like that?
In those types of loan structures, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So is that part of the counsel that you, when you work with your clients, that you can kind of steer them into the right places to get what they need accomplished?
Yes, particularly if they're a growing business and where they need more capital than we can provide to them. We try to help them, look at what type of financing may be available, be it bank financing, be it accounts receivable financing, or be it going to an expert like Charles Green to help them get the capital through investment.
Right, because there's a lot of choices out there, but I guess the most business people don't know what they don't know.
Right. And then it's a matter of what criteria, is out there for a particular program.
Now, are you strictly DeKalb County-based businesses, or can anybody...
Our revolving loan fund program, which is funded by DeKalb County, is
DeKalb
County. Our microloan program, there are three intermediaries within the metro area. We cover the entire metro area with our revolving loan. Excuse me, our microloan fund.
Now, is there the revolving loan for all the different counties have their own?
No. In fact, there are probably only three municipalities and counties that have existing revolving loan fund programs or similar programs. City of Atlanta, Fulton County, and DeKalb County are the only three that have government-based programs. There are some community development financial institutions that cover some of the other products that are available in the metro area as well, but it's very limited in terms of government participation in these types of programs.
Now, so if there's a DeKalb county-based business, like how soon in their development should they be contacting you?
Our training program, if they're just thinking about going into business, then they probably want to contact us, take a look at our training program, mm-hmm. as well as the other training opportunities that are available through the University of Georgia Small Business Development Center, the Chamber. You know, so at any point in time, anywhere from...
Right, so from having an idea all the way to you're an existing thriving business, there's a reason to call you guys, huh?
Yeah, or an existing business that's in trouble.
You don't want those.
Well, you'll like take to talk to them, you know. That's one of the reasons that we're around is to, you know, to try to give some advice and, you know, help direct them to, you know, perhaps resolving any issues or problems they may have.
Now, what's your involvement with the DeKalb Chamber?
DEPCO was started 12 years ago as part of the chamber, not really a functional part of the chamber, but it was started as an effort with the DeKalb Chamber of Commerce and DeKalb County government. And we were co-located up until 2005 together, and we remain a member and one of their community partners.
Now, have you been around since the beginning of this? Did you found this?
Mm-hmm.
So what made you, what was the pain you were seeing in the marketplace that you thought that this was necessary?
Well, DeKalb County realized that they needed to have an entity such as ours in DeKalb County, and this was the interest. I was at the time working for a similar organization in the city of Savannah. Actually, I was working for the city of Savannah running a similar type of loan program.
Uh-huh.
And as an Atlanta native, I wanted to get back to Atlanta,
and you said, hey, why don't we do this over here?
Yeah, this is a good opportunity to do it. Right?
So now, has it kind of met your expectations?
It has. The economy has probably kind of stalled some of the efforts that we wanted to do. But yes, overall, it's met our expectations.
Do you think that there's businesses out there that can benefit but just aren't aware of your program?
Yes, for sure. For sure. That's one of the limitations when you... or a very small not-for-profit organization in terms of getting the word out to, you know, the general audience that you like to serve. Yeah, so we are probably not one of the better-known organizations.
Right, so you have resources available, and if people just kind of contact you, you could be helping a lot more people?
Right, right.
Now, is that why you mentioned the involvement with the DeKalb Chamber, but is that why you're involved in also this capacity building?
We're involved, as Greg mentioned, you know, in support of it. We definitely try to market the opportunity for the to be with the chamber, which we think is very important, particularly for, you know, a growing business or an existing business.
Right.
For the opportunities, there's opportunities for the training and information, and you know, we do market that to our constituency.
Now, if somebody wanted to learn more, you have a website?
Yes, we're at www.depco, that's D as in dog, E, B as in boy, co.org.
Now, are there applications to fill out there, or do they have to come in person?
No.
How does that work?
Our applications are on the website.
Mm-hmm.
That you can fill out the application online, but you can't submit it online.
So they have to come to the office to drop it off?
They can either send it to us electronically, or they can fax it to us, or, of course, they can mail it or bring it in as well. There are attachments that have to, you know, come along with the application, so I would suggest probably sending it as secure as possible.
Sure.
You know, however you do it.
Right.
But it's always good to probably, you know, at some point in time to come in and meet us, and so we can go over the information, talk it through, and just see if there's something that they want to continue to pursue.
Right, because it would seem that businesses of any size can benefit from coming in there and chatting with you guys.
Yes. Yes, we think so.
Good stuff. So that's DEBCO, DEBCO.org, right?
That's correct.
Great. All right. Well, last up, we have Mr. Charles Green. How you doing, Charles?
Good, Lee. How are you doing? Great to be here.
We appreciate you coming in, and I believe are you the headliner, or you're the speaker at one of these capacity building events?
I'm a presenter at one of several. I think there's a total of about 6 or 8 program days,
uh-huh.
and I'm leading a conversation on capital formation.
And so capital formation, is where in the series is that? Is that towards the beginning or towards the end?
I think it's kind of in the middle. It's on July 20th.
Uh-huh. And then why don't you talk about a little bit about your background and do you have books still, right? The books out every year?
Yeah, a little bit of everything. I'm a recovering banker. I've spent about 25 years of my career working for commercial banks. I spent 5 years with a venture capital group. And in that I started a bank and I've started a few businesses, arguably I've been at every seat at the table around the discussion of money. I've been a borrower and a lender and investor, and I've raised money.
What's your favorite role?
It really doesn't matter. They're all fun. They're all fun. But I've taken a lot of those experiences and have penned a few books to help small business owners understand how to get capital, be that equity or debt. Find out, you know, I try to train them on what those silly questions that bankers keep asking them mean and how they should really think about responding, the information they need to develop. I have also spent a considerable number of pages on financial management, which is kind of the root of the problem, where I think Greg mentioned that just people don't know what they don't know, and the metrics by which bankers and investors have to evaluate their previous experience, the small business person often doesn't know how to read that information.
Right. Now, what's kind of the biggest kind of misconception maybe a business owner has when they're about to embark on this process of getting money?
That everyone's just wanting to do the right thing and help them out.
So they think that, like, when they hear people say, oh, we have money available, they think that it's like, oh, yeah, I'll just drop on by and they're going to hand you a little
satchel and we'll just walk out with our share. Sure. I think there's a lot of naive people that unfortunately, they own businesses and they're successful and they're smart, but they don't have that financial awareness and understand that banks are in business to make money. Banks are lending out dollars and capital that is insured by the FDIC, which is us, the taxpayers. So they tend to have a lower appetite for risk. But on the other hand, their money is a lot less expensive. Where the risks are taken are by investors who put in equity, and their money is totally at risk, but they also expect a much higher return, which may be 10 times their money back in a course of 3 to 5 years.
So there's different expectations from different people with money. And then from the business owner standpoint, they got to kind of understand that it might seem like it's cheap money, but it's really expensive money down the road.
Well, it is cheap money, but what banks are great to do are to rent liquidity. So they advance money usually secured against some kind of asset that may be in the business or maybe yours, the small business owner's personal assets, and they help create some liquidity from, what the business owner has, and that provides for working capital that's needed to cover the gap in working capital.
Right. Now, you mentioned that a lot of successful companies are without these financial management skills. Like they've made it kind of through will and their own savvy, but they're lacking these financial management skills. Where do you go to get these financial management skills?
Well, that's a self-serving question or answer because hopefully they'll come to the Small Business Finance Institute. I've started a nonprofit in the last 2 years to help small business owners learn about finance after this career I've had where most of my clients couldn't read a financial statement. We have been through a 40 or 50 year cycle of a growing economy. Banks have been growing and really elbowing each other for market share, which a lot of days made us a little more aggressive maybe than we should have been. And we've all, both bankers and small business owners, have reaped huge benefits from an escalating real estate inflation. You could buy a house and sell it 10 years later for a 20 or 30% return. You look like a genius, but it was just inflation.
Right.
And we, as banks, funded that inflation by lending borrowers money against the rising value of their real property, whether it was in the business or their personal home. Those days are largely over. So small business owners are really going to have to gravitate to lessons on how to manage their money better, how to read the metrics of success and understand it's not just how much money's in the bank today that really defines how successful you are.
Now, SBFI?
Yeah.
The Small Business Financial Institute. Is that a service you're providing? You said it was a nonprofit. Is there a fee associated with that? Are they buying kind of your advice? What do you get when you kind of participate in that?
We're in the process of building a platform for learning across several channels. So we started out with an annual conference that is every spring, which brings together about 30 finance professionals to teach 15 workshops on everything from how to write a financing proposal to how to get an SBA loan to how to get a microloan or how to navigate through angel capital. I published a new book this past January called Get Financing Now, and that book is taught through a workshop called Financial Bootcamp, which is a two-day workshop that covers one full day of financial management and one day of capital formation skills. We're taking the content from that workshop and breaking it down into one-hour segments that will be a webinar series starting in July called Money Talk. And we are creating online content, which will be free for business owners across the country to access and answer questions about finance. We do charge for the services. It's very inexpensive compared to what hourly rates may be for a lot of professionals. But our two-day workshop, for example, is only $300.
Uh-huh. And then this online stuff, they can kind of watch it and listen to it and read it on their own time, right?
That's right. That's right.
So now, how does this fold into the DeKalb Chamber's capacity building series? Is this one of those?
They have been a partner with me in the two conferences and have kept their membership aware of the programs that we're developing as we roll them out, and they asked me to come and share that information with their membership.
And then, this is kind of a subset of what you talk about in the Institute on a regular basis?
It is, and it's just, I guess you'd call it giving back or being a good community volunteer. I'm happy to participate with the DeKalb Chamber. I'm a big chamber believer, and I think I've been a member of one for 30 years being in the banking business. As a matter of fact, I used to work with your boss up in Cobb County when he was many banks ago.
Many banks ago.
Kessel Staley.
So if somebody wanted to learn more about the Institute, what's the website?
It is sbfi.org.
And then what is the date of your talk at the DeKalb Chamber Capacity Building Series?
On July 20th.
July 20th. Now, I'd like to open this up to everybody, if Greg and the other Charles don't mind answering some of these questions. Just general questions for the small business owner. If they're, like Charles mentioned, there's lots of choices for funding. Banking's one of them. You mentioned angel investors. I've been active in a lot of, I've been getting a lot of angel investor people come through here. They seem to have a lot of money and they seem to be doing a lot of deals. But as you mentioned, Charles, you said that there's a cost to that. You're giving up equity, you're giving up a piece of your business. So can you help I'm going to throw it out to anybody who can answer. I'm a small business owner. I have a business. I need more money to expand. What should I be doing first? Do I build a business plan? Do I start building relationships? What do I do?
Depends.
Lee, I would hope that you already have a relationship. You're a small
right.
business owner and ready to expand by that time. You've developed a relationship either with many different funding sources, hopefully a bank
right.
That understands your business. But I would suggest, from my perspective, talk it over with your banker, the one that you have a relationship with now.
So I should have a team. Does everybody agree? I should be. I'm a small business owner. I should be building a team that includes a banker.
Absolutely.
Banker, lawyer,
CPA, attorney, insurance agent.
Yes, because the banker is going to be your depository. They may or may not become your lender, but they're
right.
going to be where your money's stored, and sometimes. In this fast and woolly world, you need to be able to pick up the phone and say, hey, I need to get a wire out or I need to get something that that may have to circumvent a process or a typical rule that may delay delivery for hours.
Right.
And so that relationship is very important to help make sure you can meet your obligations some days.
Now, Charles Bachman, where do you fit into this equation? Like, how are you helping me as the business owner?
Well, first thing I would try to do is to quantify or codify your need. You know, exactly what do you need, what type of financing or capital would be appropriate, what other types of individuals or types of skills that you need to look at in terms of helping you get to where you want to go before you actually go to that financial source.
So are you kind of the quarterback of this? You're kind of helping me?
I can be, but then I have individuals who also come in businesses that do come in, and they know what they want. They've done all of that. So
right.
Then they're just coming to me, you know, to access whether or not we can lend them the capital or the money
right.
that they need.
Now, Charles, yeah. like in your institute, that seems, from what you're saying, I'm understanding that it's kind of a self-help kind of experience. Like, I'm not getting a person that's actually personally advising me. I'm getting information that I'm learning and that I can then implement myself.
That's right. What we try to do is raise people's awareness of the world of finance and how to navigate through it and how to make these kind of choices based on their own position, based on their own horizon. One of the decisions someone will make about where to get funding will be really what do they qualify for. And that goes to what are these lenders, what are their rules. I mentioned a few minutes ago how banks have a lower tolerance for risk because of the source of their funding, which are, you know, insured deposits. Whereas the angel investors have a very high tolerance for risk, but they have a high demand for repayment.
Right.
And what that means is that the business is going to have some certain characteristics that aren't typical. And that is one of them is, for example, scalability. You can't take a dry cleaner on the corner and make it increase in value 10 or 15 times over a five-year period.
Right. So an angel investor's out, like if you're the dry cleaner.
Right. Because that not only is that not going to scale up to enough value, but it's also not going to be liquid. You would have to depend on someone just buying a one-off location.
Right.
Take, for example, a new iPhone application. Well, that is scalable because if it takes off, it may cost $500,000 to develop and $500,000 to get it to market. But if it takes off, that $3.99 application may be bought 16 million times around the world.
Right.
And you've scaled up that business over
right.
a relative short period.
So then, and that's, I guess, the challenge for a business owner to understand that an angel might be interested in spending $1 million on something that could be a complete flop than giving somebody 50 grand just to help them get their business going.
That's the essence of the challenge. This is, if I can interject, this is a very exciting time in finance right now because of the technology that is delivering funding to small business owners.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of places on the web like OnDeck.com, Lendio, Bowfly. There's a local company here in Atlanta called IOU Central. These are delivering small business loans directly where you put in your data online and get a decision in 2 minutes. They're not looking at your financial statements. They're going to check your credit score and your history to make sure you're not on the run from the law or in jail.
Right.
They're going to use Google search, though, and look and see if your business address really has a sign on it with your name.
Right.
If you're in food service, they're going to go automatically through the web and look at the health department records on your business. They're going to go to Yelp and look at the score. They're going to look at your website and see what people say about your business. And they'll make a decision based on how they expect you to go forward. So
that sounds game-changing. I would imagine that bankers have to deal with that. And this new crowdfunding, I'm hearing a lot about that,
mm-hmm.
where I know people that have had things on Kickstarter. They had a project. And then they didn't go to a bank. They put it on Kickstarter and get funding through that where they don't have to repay it.
The Bank of England just advanced or announced a decision to advance $100 million into peer-to-peer lending, which means it will be doled out in $100 and $200 increments across tens of thousands of borrowers.
Now, why would the country do that?
Because it stimulates jobs. It's like it's like supersizing what Charles Blackman does in a micro lending enterprise, and makes it available online without the technical assistance, but it just gets the money out there to be spent. Because even if those loans don't come back, you have stimulated the economy.
What do you think of that, Greg?
I think that model has value. If you want to get the money out quickly with less small amounts, less hassle.
Right.
But I do think for a business, you know, longer term, I still feel like you'll need at least one day a relationship. Unlike you know doing it over the computer and so on. But when times are good. Probably a pretty effective way to get at least a small amount of money to these businesses and deliver quickly. In rougher times, I still feel strongly about relationship banking.
Right.
And
well, I think
so it can help some for those that have been perhaps unbankable in the past.
Right.
But for those that can that have the time and some and make the effort, I still think a traditional banking relationship is probably going to be around a while.
Right. That's probably the most affordable money in the long term, right? It's having a loan or getting a loan from a bank.
It is. And these two instances I mentioned are going to be 22 to 25% annual cost.
Right.
And the one up here in Kennesaw, their loans are paid back daily. So they're looking at what kind of credit card volume you have, and they're taking a very small piece of money back
every day.
But you're getting $100,000
today, right?
Over the internet without going in, signing in paper, or waiting around for an answer. And the difference is you're paying 22% for it rather than 7 or 8%.
Rates now are 4 and 5%.
4 or 5%?
Yeah.
Really?
they're way down.
Wow. That's why
I said earlier it's a good time to be in the to approach banks for lending.
And is there any harm for just going and approaching a bank to seeing what's available based on what you have?
I wouldn't, you know, say it would be harm doing that, but I would say that instead of going unprepared,
right,
maybe have some kind of idea about what you need and what you want, and some kind of preparation in terms of business plan, financial statements that are proper, and so on. But just to go bounce it off the wall, I would say that probably not a lot of harm if you got a good banker that would be a good sounding board.
Right.
But if you really do need something, maybe take it a step farther and be a little bit more prepared.
Right. Good stuff. So everybody here in the room, big fans of the DeKalb Chamber?
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the DeKalb Chamber is doing this the capacity building series. And which Charles is going to be speaking at on July 20th. And that's a multi-part series, I believe, that's going for several months, right?
Yes.
And all right. Well, this wraps up another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. This is the DeKalb Chamber special. And we're trying, I think, to do this every month or so with Leonardo and his crew over at the DeKalb Chamber. And we hope to see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.